than 60% of consumer respondents said they use the web to gain the necessary information before making a buying decision. This is up from 20% just 3 years ago.
The survey did conclude that today's dynamic, often challenging automotive environments characterized by increasingly sophisticated consumers and an abundance of information. There is more news on USARadio.com. Richard Curtis reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Born with a rare birth defect and living in a Russian orphanage, Elena had little chance of ever walking. But when her adoptive family brought her home, they found help and hope at a Shriners hospital where she was fitted with prosthetic feet.
We wouldn't be where we are if Shriners hadn't taken care of us.
Shriners hospitals offer some of the world's best orthopedic spinal cord and burn medical care to children totally free of charge. And they combine that care with innovative teaching and progressive research programs.
Shriners Hospital made a difference not only with the medical side of it, but the human side of it and making it a family experience for us.
Today, Elena is an unstoppable six-year-old.
I don't think there's even words to really thank Shriners for everything they've done. Their care is phenomenal.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Every Sunday, I try to give you, as the man said, all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And, well, this week, my cup done runneth over. There is so much news that the government is trying to hide from you, the public, that I don't know that I'll get to it all in the next 2 hours, but I'm sure going to do my best to try. We've got everything from the propaganda that we're funding in Iraq. I mean, not just propaganda from the U.S. military, but news stories that we claim to be true, listing lies, trying to persuade the Iraqi people of this, that, and the other. Well, I got news for the administration. The Iraqi people are not as naive as the American people were when we went to war. Torture continues. We're doing it again and again. The president says we're not doing it, while the vice president says we need to do it. Eastern Europe is complaining about our secret prisons, saying they're against the European Union's laws. And we say, well, that's why we didn't tell you about it, because we knew it was illegal. Meanwhile, we're condemning China for having torture and secret prisons and no due process. Wow. Wonder what it feels like to condemn another state when you actually haven't done the practices yourself. I think the same when I see Saddam Hussein's trial. Wouldn't it be easier to try the man if we weren't doing the exact same things ourselves? The president this week gave his, quote, plan for victory, unquote, which had, of course, no plan at all. The plan for victory was about as detailed as his mission accomplished. It was a great poster. Remember Mission Accomplished? Remember when the president thought his mission was accomplished? But, of course, it was the same arrogance and lack of any competence that continues. I mean, the plan is basically stay the course, pretend like we've made no mistakes, ignore the problems. It just goes on and on and on. The propaganda, of course, is not just abroad. It's also domestic. We had PBS, the public broadcasting system, which we love to watch, Sesame Street and Big Bird. The president and his administration tried very hard to make PBS, just like Fox News, to make it a right-wing advocacy center. And when they broke laws to do that and it failed, now your taxpayer money is going to fund Fox News programs. Did you know that? Corruption continues at all levels. Everything from FEMA not allowing Louisiana to vote after Hurricane Katrina. You don't like the mayor of New Orleans? At least let them vote them out. FEMA doesn't consider the right to vote very important. Two, Mel Sembler. Remember Mel Sembler, that wonderful ambassador to Italy who tortured thousands of American teens? We did a couple programs on that. Well, guess what he's doing now? He's running Scooter Libby's defense fund. How nice that they all get together like that. Neil Bush, the president's brother, is helping to support Reverend Sun Myung Moon, the man who wants to remove the crosses from Christian churches and engage in very strange sexual practices. We've got Tom DeLay and his continued corruption, even using the same lobbyist planes that got Duke Cunningham in trouble to go to his trials back and forth. Do the Republicans not understand that this looks bad to do things like this? So much is going on. Of course, Congress continues to refuse any sort of oversight. The Republican Congress doesn't seem to understand that they have a constitutional duty to the American people to oversee what goes on in the government. When it comes to these propaganda issues, they ask the questions. They say, well, there's really tough questions, but we're not going to ask for subpoenas. We're not going to demand the government give us answers. The American people don't want answers. The American people want just what they wanted in George Orwell's 1984. They just want to know everything's good. If they knew the truth, they'd be angry at the government. So we cannot let them know the truth. The war on terror continues to fail. Not the war in Iraq, which also continues to fail. No, I'm talking about the war on terror, where we're trying supposedly to get the al-Qaeda operatives that murdered 3,000 Americans. This week, Hamza Rabia in Pakistan, al-Qaeda leader, blew himself up trying to set a suicide bomb. I'm glad to see him go, but I was particularly surprised when the United States took credit. I'm afraid they're killing more of themselves than we're killing of any of them. It just goes on and on. We have Samuel Alito, the new Supreme Court Justice nominee, forgetting to tell Congress when asked specifically about memos that show that he wants to overturn Roe v. Wade. He just conveniently forgot to turn them in. You know, whatever you feel about Roe v. Wade, whatever you feel about Samuel Alito, don't you think he should at least tell the truth to Congress? But don't worry. Your Republican Congress, the majority, they won't see that Alito follows through because they don't want you to know the truth. Meanwhile, of course, we've got the Vatican attacking gay people, trying to kick out some of their best priests just because they're gay. You know what? It didn't work in the military when we kicked out those Arabic translators, and I'm sorry to see the Vatican become an agent for discrimination. Meanwhile, in Darfur, the genocide continues, and I don't see the Vatican or the administration focusing on that necessary military use. The Justice Department has come forward to note that, oh, yes, they told Texas unanimously that Tom DeLay's proposals for gerrymandering violated the Voting Rights Act, but nothing's being done about that. The stories just go on and on. All of these details I will give to you after the break. If you want to call in and discuss this or any other news I've mentioned or haven't mentioned that the government does not want you to know, pick up the phone, dial 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Those are the headlines, but the details are right after this.
Truckers keep America on the move, and lots of times it's chiropractors who keep truckers going. Here's a benefits card for truckers with discounts of 30 to 50% from a network of thousands of doctors of chiropractic in cities and towns all across America. This same card provides savings up to 60% from dentists at home and on the road. For $11.95 a month for individuals and $19.95 for your whole family, besides savings on chiropractors and dentists, there are similar savings on prescriptions and optical services at home and on the road. Got to get braces for the kids? Why not save 50%? This isn't insurance. These are instant savings with no paperwork to fill out. Truckers are important to us and the whole point of truckersbenefits.com. Get online now. Go to www.truckersbenefits.com for the whole story. If you're on the road, phone home and tell them to check out truckersbenefits.com from just $11.95 per month.
They were charged with finding an all-water route to the Pacific, yet less than half of them knew how to swim. they nearly starved, ran out of supplies, and failed in their primary mission. So why 200 years later do Lewis and Clark still fascinate us? Maybe it's because it was a military expedition notable for battles that didn't happen. Or because the Indians they met gave them food, horses, and guidance. Maybe it's the teenage mother and the slave who were allowed to speak their minds. Or was it because they chronicled a breathtaking and abundant American landscape? For 3 years, Lewis and Clark traveled a trail of tolerance, enlightenment, and adventure that, we'd soon find out, was too good to be true. It's a trail that still winds through us all. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Do you ever get a feeling that the administration just isn't trying anymore? I mean, remember when George Bush ran for president in 2000? And no, he didn't win that election, but at least when he was running, he said he wanted to change the tone of Washington. Do you remember that? He said he wanted to restore honesty and integrity to the U.S. government. Do you remember that? And he said that government should be accountable. I mean, it's amazing. I just don't think they're trying anymore. When George Bush gives his speech today, and when he has the sign over his head, plan for victory, and no plan at all, in fact, nothing other than staying the course, when the administration can't seem to admit that it may have made some mistakes in Iraq, you wonder, are they really stupid enough to believe their own rhetoric? Or do they just think that we're stupid enough to believe them? It's not clear, but at this point, it's stacking up so much. I mean, we even have the State Department violating the law again by refusing to allow people who disagree with the Bush administration to go speak for Americans abroad. They seem to think if they can control propaganda, that they will control our minds. But you know what? The Soviet Union tried the exact same thing with their propaganda toss, and it didn't work. The people found out the truth anyway. And I'm confident that the Bush administration, which in some ways has tried harder than the Soviet Union to keep its torture program secret, to control the United States press, at least equally as hard, I'm confident that the American people are now seeing through it. And I would love to see if Republicans would challenge their government and say, you know what? I actually think the American people should know what the government's doing. Call me crazy, but isn't that what's supposed to happen in a democracy? 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's go to Jack in San Diego. Jack, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, I'm proposing today to change the penalties if you're a traitor or a war profiteer.
Okay.
So if you're a traitor like Scooter Libby.
Right, or Dick Cheney.
Or a war profiteer like Duke Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want them to do any prison time. I would like to see them stripped of their citizenship and exiled.
That's interesting.
But there's one problem with my proposal.
We could torture them in secret prisons. But go ahead. What's your proposal?
Well, the problem with my proposal is I ran this by the United Nations, and it seems like the only place that will take Scooter Libby and Duke Cunningham is hell.
Well, yes, and even hell, I understand there's a real backup now with, Tom DeLay and a bunch of others trying to get in.
Well, I heard just through the grapevine that the devil said the only way he would take Cunningham and Libby is when hell freezes over.
I see. Well,
there you go. It's a real dilemma.
Well, no, I don't think it's so much of a dilemma, Jack, because I think the administration may spend hundreds and billions of our dollars and, you know, a few tens of thousands of American lives to make sure hell does freeze over. Because I think they think that that's possible, and they're going to work to it. And if that's what it takes to help them, they're going to stay the course, Jack.
Well, you know, I tell you the real problem I have with Cunningham is that he was taking these bribes from defense contractors
right.
for 4 years. And you want to tell me that nobody in Congress noticed that he was living in a million-dollar mansion and living on a yacht and driving a Rolls Royce, that, hey, this is something is wrong?
Everybody knew.
Now, here's the deal. They're either they turned a blind eye or they weren't surprised by his lifestyle because everybody's doing this and living like this. And so we can't depend on the Republicans to do any ethics investigations, because they're blocking all the investigations, not only into ethical conduct, but into the evidence that led us to war. So what else I would like to suggest today is that we ask the Internal Revenue Service to conduct lifestyle audits on all the Republican members of Congress. And that is the worst audit you could possibly get, because what they do is the IRS comes out to your house and they actually see how you live and determine whether you're living within your means.
Jack, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying is I think this is the only thing that we can do to find out who else is a Duke Cunningham.
Jack, I'll tell you this about Duke Cunningham. It's very interesting. You know, here I live in the District of Columbia, and what you folks in San Diego don't realize is that you are our overlords. We are your slaves. We people in the District of Columbia, we are American citizens. We do have to pay taxes, but we have no rights. We are a colony. We do not have any representation in Congress. We don't even have the right to pass our own laws. And one of the main people who was torturing, abusing us in the District of Columbia was your representative, Duke Cunningham. Duke Cunningham, in fact, was careful to oversee. He sat on the D.C. Appropriations Subcommittee, and he was careful to take laws that the citizens of the District of Columbia had passed and make sure to overturn them if he didn't agree with them. And one of the reasons he gave for that, it's very interesting given the corruption that we now know that he had, is he claimed that the city council was taking money under the table. So the D.C. council said, well, you've accused us of bribery. That's a pretty strong thing. Do you have any evidence of this? And he didn't, and they contacted his staff, and his staff had no idea where it came from. But what he did do is he pressed D.C. very hard because he wanted his brother to get a job in D.C. And he told the city council that if they hired his brother, things might look a lot better for them. So I think the answer is Duke Cunningham specifically does believe that corruption is endemic, that it's just the way to do business, that indeed is what government is all about. And the amazing thing is that if he hadn't been forced out of office, he'd be still controlling the people right here in the District of Columbia. So we in D.C. are glad that you folks in San Diego are going to get a new representative. I have to tell you that.
Well, I think, you know, Cunningham shares something with the rest of his Republican cohorts in that they all seem to be arrogant and not too bright.
Yeah, you know, it's always been troubling for me trying to figure out. They're clearly arrogant, but are they incompetent or evil? And I've always had a hard time with that one. I mean, some of them are so clearly incompetent, and then some of them, you know, like Dick Cheney and Karl Rove and the like, are so clearly evil. And I finally come to the conclusion that you can be both. You can be both incompetent and evil. It's tough. It's tough to do it. But this administration has found a way. Hey, Jack, thanks very much for calling in. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Lots more of news the government does not want you to know right after this.
The legacy of the great communicator lives on in his accomplishments and his spoken word. And now you can own a treasury of the great speeches of Ronald Wilson Reagan on DVD. We're offering 12 memorable speeches from Ronald Reagan's remarkable presidency, starting with his nomination speech all the way to his farewell to the nation in 1988. Included is his memorable speech at the Berlin Wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
This DVD collection in full color is the best way to remember Ronald Reagan and share his wit, charm, and the clarity of his challenge to all Americans. Order the stirring collection of Reagan speeches for just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to www.reagancollection.com.
Order online or by mail at the address ReaganCollection.com.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series. 4 CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord. that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is the Sunday Weekly Review. If you have a point you want to make, if there's some news the government does not want you to know, or heck, if you disagree with what I have to say, all you have to do is call in 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or you can comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. We've got Alice in Humboldt County. Alice, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark.
Hello.
It appears that slowly we in America are figuring out what the rest of the world has known for quite a while about the Bush team.
Yep.
I have believed that they should all be in prison.
Oh, I guess
I don't know. You know, things like that make me wonder if the Bush administration is after you, Alice. I hope you're okay. I assume you are. But Alice makes a good point before she was cut off. I mean, God, you know, when you think about all the people that are being cut off, the thing that reminds me, and I realize it's probably just it's nothing, but the State Department has now been caught doing what it sounds like happened to Alice. I think it was an accident, but they have been trying to prevent Americans from speaking. I mean, do you know it's not just a question of the administration putting their propaganda in Iraq? It's a question of them cutting off Americans from speaking abroad. Let me give you just a clear example. Senator Barack Obama, remember him? Fantastic speaker, was, I think, one of the best speakers at the Democratic National Convention. Currently, he's a senator from the state of Illinois. He used to live in Indonesia when he was young, and he was asked by the U.S. Embassy in Indonesia to come back and speak there, but he was never allowed a visa by the United States State Department. There was a translator of Islamic poetry who gave rave reviews in Afghanistan, but in March, he criticized the Iraq war and was not allowed to speak before for America anymore. In fact, there's a recent expert on conflict resolution who was scheduled to work in Jerusalem to help the Israelis and the Palestinians, and he worked for the Bush administration, and just as a speaker on his own, he was invited by the Israelis and Palestinians on his own for conflict resolution. But then this man, this expert, David L. Phillips, wrote a book called Losing Iraq, saying that Bush didn't handle Iraqi reconstruction right. And he also has been disallowed from speaking on behalf of the U.S. government. Now, understand, this is not speaking in the sense of an administration spokesperson. I can understand an administration not allowing people who disagree with them to be their spokespeople. What it is there's a program called the U.S. Speaker and Specialist Program. It's been around for decades, and it's around to allow Americans, according to the law, according to its charter, to, quote, present a range of responsible opinion in the United States, unquote. But the administration has determined that the opinion of the majority of the American people that Bush got us into war wrongly, I mean, even those that don't agree yet that he lied to get us into war, more than 60% agree that he isn't prosecuting the war in Iraq well. Apparently, the majority of Americans are not allowed to represent, quote, a range of responsible opinion in the United States. According to Bush, who, of course, didn't allow people to attend his Social Security town forums if they didn't agree with his plan on Social Security, another plan that no more than a third of Americans supported. According to Bush, you can't speak as part of the Speaker and Specialist Program unless you agree with him in all his particulars on Iraq. There's just one problem. That's illegal. The plan specifically says, and it's been around for decades, that you've got to allow a range of responsible opinion. Well, guess what? They've admitted it now. The State Department has said, in fact, that yes, they're going through every candidate asked by any foreign country as part of this program. They're doing internet searches. They're looking for any comments, any writings that criticize the White House. And they're saying, I'm sorry, if you have ever criticized the White House, you are not within the range of responsible opinion in the United States. This is an administration that, sorry for the cliche, can't handle the truth, is afraid of the truth, and doesn't want the world to know the truth. There's a big problem, though. Despite the millions of dollars paid in propaganda domestically and abroad, in Iraq and in Europe, the whole world now knows the truth. And the administration is left looking like that guy in Baghdad who was saying the Iraqi troops are doing really well. Remember that guy? Well, I'm afraid that's where our administration is. Making up lies, telling propaganda, paying off the world, and it still ain't working. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. There's been another turn of events as Saddam Hussein's trial gets set to resume tomorrow. One of the five judges has stepped down, reportedly because of a conflict of interest. A U.S. official saying an unidentified judge has removed himself from the case because the Saddam co-defendant had been tied to the murder of the judge's brother. An early season snowfall is blanketing parts of the Northeast. In New York City, the Department of Sanitation was ready for the snow as it fell today. Superintendent Keith Mellett said the snowfall wasn't bad. He noted today was a light storm. The National Weather Service says up to 2 inches of snow is expected to accumulate before changing over to a mix of rain and light snow tonight. More than 200 years after his death, Alexander Hamilton is getting a new look. The U.S. government is coming out with a new design for the $10 bill, which will begin showing up at banks on March 2nd of next year. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate.
The following from News Broadcast Network. Here's Laird Malamed of Activision.
The movies is the most comprehensive Hollywood experience ever, giving you the power to hire and fire the stars, design your studio lot, and call the dots on what movies are made and how they're directed.
Players can make a wide variety of movies, everything from musicals to psycho thrillers, and then must work to maximize their film's box office success. For more information on the movies, please visit themoviesgame.com. I'm John Dritten.
When it comes to how well they manage their debt, Americans are fairly confident. Nearly one-third of Americans give themselves a perfect 10 in debt management. That's according to a recent MasterCard International survey. However, 30% of Americans say more debt management information would help them reduce their debt. For more information, log on to Debt Know How. That's debtknowhow.com. I'm Lee Shepard.
A study from the University of Alabama shows that exercising longer has a much greater beneficial effect on cholesterol than exercising harder. I'm Dr. Gabe Merkin. If you have high blood levels of cholesterol and you go on a low-fat diet but don't reduce your intake of calories, your cholesterol will not drop. On the other hand, any dietary regimen that reduces calories can help lower cholesterol. Saturated fats in meat and whole milk dairy products are broken down into acetone units. If you burn more calories than you take in, the acetone units are burned for energy and can't be used to make cholesterol. And the same applies to exercise. Exercising very hard causes sore muscles on the next days and therefore limits the amount of exercise you can do. But if you do more exercise, you burn more calories and therefore you can lower your cholesterol. If you think that certain foods make your stomach or blood acidic, you don't understand nutrition. I'm Dr. Gabe Merkin.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm talking this week about, well, so many things, but mostly, for the moment, about propaganda. This is an administration that firmly believes in propaganda. After all, there was a time when America supported the war in Iraq, when they actually thought mission was accomplished, they actually supported the president. And the reason they did, of course, is because the administration lied to us. Lied to us about weapons of mass destruction, lied to us about the threat of nuclear war, lied to us about how well the war effort was going in Iraq. So this is an administration that believes in lies, believes in propaganda, believes if you have town hall meetings that are scripted, where everyone has to say exactly what the president tells them to say, that people in America will actually believe they are town hall meetings. This is an administration that believes in 1984. I was asked by email to give the source for the State Department program that's excluding those that disagree with the administration. The source is Knight Ridder, which asked about these litmus tests where they would say, I'm sorry, you can't speak as part of this program that's supposed to include, according to its charter, a range of responsible opinions. They asked Alexander Feldman, the head of the department's Bureau of International Information Programs, to which he sent a memo to his employees right after getting the Knight Ridder request, saying, quote, no one is to speak to the press without following the procedures and getting approval, unquote. Knight Ridder has a copy of that memo. And then many officials spoke out. These are civil servants, whistleblowers, people who are trying to do the right thing, but of course they didn't give their names because they knew they would be fired. And I have to say that I have far more sympathy for whistleblowers, like the ones who are talking about this propaganda program, than I do for the people in power who are trying to manipulate the press for their own ends. That's why I have to say I haven't been a real fan of Bob Woodward lately. Now, Bob Woodward, of course, is the great Watergate reporter who helped expose Nixon's malfeasance in office using an inside source called Deep Throat, we now know to be Mark Felt. But apparently, today, Woodward is simply carrying the administration's ball, trying to do his best to protect the administration, much as Judy Miller has done. And I have to say, as I've always said, protecting whistleblowers has to be a right. You have to protect people in the government who are pointing out illegal actions, and this State Department program is illegal, folks, because they're not allowed to exclude critics under the law. People who are pointing out illegal actions have to be protected. And I would support a press shield for that purpose. But when the government itself, when the administration itself is leaking this information, is trying to influence the public through propaganda, trying to hide its sources, as they did with Judy Miller, you know, claiming there was weapons of mass destruction when they knew that there wasn't, I'm afraid that I don't think that has any protection. That's why I support Fitzgerald's inquiry. I don't think we need a free press to hide the ball for the administration. If the administration wants to say something, let them say it. If the president's got something to say, let him say it openly. But we don't hear the administration talk about what's really going on in Iraq. We just hear their, quote, plan for victory, unquote, which is more a sign than anything else. The speech had nothing in it. So I think we have to protect whistleblowers, but we shouldn't be protecting those in the administration that are trying to use reporters to manipulate information, whether it's propaganda in Iraq or whether it's what happened recently at PBS. Do you know what happened at PBS? Do you know about Ken Tomlinson, appointed by the administration to change PBS, to make it more of a right-wing organization like Fox? They spent $4 million of your taxpayer dollars to create the Journal Editorial Report to give the Wall Street Journal, which has a notoriously conservative editorial page, which is fine. They're a major newspaper. They're certainly allowed to have their opinion. But they paid $4 million of our taxpayer dollars to put that opinion on PBS. And when Ken Tomlinson was forced to resign for breaking the law, because he's not supposed to make programming decisions, for getting that on the air, you know where the program is going now, folks? It's going, you guessed it, to Fox News. The Fox propaganda channel is taking this program developed for PBS by the administration. But there's no word yet that they're going to pay back, we taxpayers, the $4 million we spent on this right-wing propaganda, and I wouldn't hold your breath. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's go to Mike in Los Angeles. Mike, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Well, hello, Mark. How's it going?
It's going good.
Well, it's interesting you have this topic today. I remember a couple of weeks ago when the president was in China.
Yeah.
And he was kind of ungracious to his hosts in China. He's publicly calling for democratic reforms.
Right.
He embarrassed them a little bit when he the Chinese authorities kept pro-democracy protesters under house arrest, so
right,
that they wouldn't disturb the world leaders, you know, with a spontaneous, inconvenient manifestation of democracy, right?
Right.
And then he comes home and goes home to Crawford, and immediately had local Texas officials enforce the laws he had recently passed to prevent anti-war protesters from disturbing him on his ranch.
Exactly
In
right.
In fact, he had a dozen of them arrested that very day. And it's just, but no, you know, no, you didn't really see too much about that. It was, to me, a stunning hypocrisy. And it's just not talked about.
Well, Mike, I think China is a classic example. I mean, here, the U.S. and the United Nations has been condemning China for doing torture in its prisons. What is the torture? It's sleep deprivation, forcing people through shackles in either sitting or standing positions. The exact same thing that Dick Cheney has said is not torture and that the American forces should have a right to use. They complained to the Chinese that people weren't having due process, weren't having the right to in essence, be charged with a crime when the administration, of course, wants to put people, American citizens, they call enemy combatants, in jail for life without being charged with a crime. They said the Chinese to have inspectors so that they don't have secret prisons at the same time as America is trying to hide our secret prisons, which, by the way, violate European community law. Every single thing, it seems, that we were attacking China for, and rightly so, we were doing the same thing in our own country. And, you know, I remember a time back in the late 80s when Tiananmen Square happened, and the Chinese people were raising up the Statue of Liberty. They were looking to America as a moral force. Today, I think the Chinese government probably just laughed and knew that the UN could take no action against China, because if it did, it would have to take the same action against the United States.
Absolutely.
Well, you made a solid point, Mike, and I'm really glad you gave me the chance to bring that up, because this whole propaganda thing, I have to say, I really find it pernicious. It's very much like 1984, this idea that you can convince people by pretending. I mean, it's one thing if the government says, this is a U.S. government press release, and we're saying X. You know, they have every right to do that, and everyone can know where it's coming from and so forth. But what they're doing is they're putting out so-called news stories. And they did this with domestic journalists right here in the States, with Armstrong Williams and Maggie Gallagher and others, where they put out stories pretending to be from neutral reporters, but they were really paid for by the Pentagon. And now they're doing the exact same thing in Iraq, and they think they're fooling people.
Yeah, what happened to that story? It died really fast, and I thought it was, you know, I thought it was a big deal. And that I mean, basically they have paid flacks representing
right.
themselves as impartial news sources,
right.
pushing the administration's agenda, and the story just went away.
What
was up with that?
It's a good question. I don't know. We mention it often here on The Scoop, but I think you're right. I don't know whether it's everyone sort of knows the administration does this and doesn't think it's that big a deal, or the press itself is scared that if they mention it, they won't get all those secret sources that Judy Miller and Bob Woodward get. But one thing that's interesting, I noted the administration's response to the propaganda that we're doing in Iraq, the exact same thing that we did in the United States. The $6 million, in fact, that we paid in order to put favorable stories in the Iraqi press. And the administration response, I wrote this down, it's a direct quote, is they will take appropriate action if the people, in other words, the people they paid, fail to take action as intended. And I remember thinking, boy, that doublespeak, that Orwell would love that kind of doublespeak. We will make them pay if they didn't do what we intended them to do. Well, we know what you intended them to do, administration. You intended them to lie on your behalf. And what's interesting is that an administration that never fires anyone, that wants no one to be accountable, it's clear that everyone is acting just as the administration intended. We got to take another break. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Margie Garrison was at the end of her rope. At the young age of 28, she was told she would be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. And then, when she just couldn't go on any longer, she met a doctor who said to her, "Margie, arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." Now, can you imagine Margie's joy after 43 years and thousands of dollars of doctor bills and pain medications that didn't work? Learn the whole story online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up online for yourself at HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com, and find out if what worked for Margie Garrison will work for you.
They're always talking about the number of people without health insurance, but what about those without dental coverage? If you're self-employed, retired, or your employer just doesn't provide dental insurance, there is an $11.95 a month solution that saves you up to 30, 50, and even 60% on dental services. And because this isn't insurance, there are no turndowns, no claim forms, no waiting periods, no runaround. And this nationwide program covers cleaning, restorations, and cosmetic dentistry. Get the whole story online. You don't have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. There's even a form to email to get a list of all the providers in your area. Go to www.1195dental.com. You type in the numbers 1195 followed by the word dental, D-E-N-T-A-L.com. 1195dental.com is here to help. And check out our low prices for family memberships.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My caller, Mike from Los Angeles, brought up the good point that when the administration tried to control the press domestically, in other words, when they paid people to put forth the administration's propaganda, not saying, of course, that it came from the administration, that story didn't last very long. Well, now I wonder how long the story will be about what we're doing in Iraq. You know, I don't think the Iraqi people are fooled. I don't think the Iraqi people, I'm sorry to say this, Americans, but I don't think they're as stupid as a lot of Americans are. I think the Iraqi people understand that we control the Iraqi government, we control the press there, we control the torture chambers there, and just like when Saddam Hussein controlled everything, we're making sure it all works for us. Saddam Hussein would torture people to get what he wants, we torture people to get what we want. Saddam Hussein grabbed the oil wealth, we're grabbing the oil wealth. Saddam Hussein controlled the Iraqi press, we control the Iraqi press. In fact, it's interesting now that Saddam Hussein's on trial to see if, well, you know, the things that we do should be on trial as well. I mean, the exact same things we're accusing him of, we're doing today. And so I went and I looked to see what Congress was doing about it. I certainly don't expect the administration to tell us the truth. But the question was, what is Congress doing? Congress, a lot of times, realizes it's in trouble. We have the November 2006 elections just around the corner. The support for the administration is about only one-third of the American public. And so Congress has to look like it's acting, like it's doing something. And the Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman, John Warner, held a hearing last week on the Iraqi propaganda and was asked, well, what did he discover when he asked these questions? And he said, quote, "We can't verify this question of payments to the journalists," unquote. More facts are needed. So they asked him, well, was it against the law? And he said, quote, "We simply do not have all of the facts," unquote. So he was asked, should the practice be stopped? He said, quote, "I wouldn't want to render judgment to stop something until I have all the facts," unquote. Well, they asked whether the distinction between propaganda and factual information was blurred. Quote, "I don't have enough facts," unquote. Well, what's the most important unanswered question that you have? Quote, "Well, seriously, there's so many questions that are unanswered," unquote. I'm not making this up, folks. These are direct quotes. He said, well, some of the programs has to be classified to protect the interests of our troops. Well, then the reporters asked him, understandably, if the goal was to get the truth and to get the facts out rather than to put forward lies and propaganda, why should it be classified? Great question. Warner's answer, quote, "That's the ultimate question you've got to answer. And at this moment, I can't give you any facts to help you on that. I have only but a bare initial understanding of why classification is needed," unquote. So, lest anyone doubt that John Warner, the Senate Armed Committee's chairman, was being stonewalled by the military, we heard again and again and again, he just doesn't have all the facts. So they asked him the ultimate question. has the Pentagon been cooperative in giving you the facts? And he responded, quote, yes, Rumsfeld has been 100% cooperative. I don't detect any effort on the part of defense of trying to cover up anything. They are working diligently to get the facts out, unquote. So here you got a senator. He doesn't know any of the facts. He asks questions. He gets no answers. He doesn't know what more questions to ask. He doesn't understand the program. He's not seeking by subpoena any information. Oh, and he's not being stonewalled. Everything's just hunky-dory. And if you want a Congress to not question what the president's doing, if you want a Congress to support America becoming just like Saddam Hussein, just like the Soviet Union, to be a fount of propaganda and torture and secret prisons, and you support a Congress not looking into it, if you believe, as some of my callers have said, don't find out what nasty things our government is doing, because if we find out what nasty things our government is doing, the terrorists win. It's fine to torture and murder people. That's fine. But don't let the terrorists know it, because then they get upset. If you believe that, then by all means, vote for Republicans next November. If you believe America is the home of the torture, where cruel and unusual punishment are praised, where you have secret prisons, secret police, if you don't believe in due process, if you hate the Bill of Rights, if you hate the Constitution, by all means, vote Republican in November. But some of us believe the Constitution does have value. Some of us believe that Congress has a role in oversight, should oversee what the president's doing. And I, for one, am going to do my best to get people like Senator Warner out of office. One more thing before break. One of my callers, one of my listeners brings up on the blog, this is, I think, Robert who brought it up. Michelle. I apologize. It's Michelle from Long Beach who brings it up. The fact that the Justice Department told Tom DeLay, at the time he was gerrymandering the Texas districts, that it was a violation of law. It was a violation of the Voting Rights Act. And they not only told him this, but they told him this unanimously. All of the civil servants at Justice, every one of them said this was breaking the law. Just as they told Georgia when they tried to design, in effect, poll taxes, and which are expressly prohibited by the Constitution. There's an amendment that specifically says you can't charge people to vote. And yet Georgia was trying to charge people to get picture IDs to vote, and conveniently leaving none of them in Atlanta. So if you lived in Atlanta and you were black, well, you couldn't really buy the thing to vote unless you, you know, make a trip into the suburbs. They also said, hey, that plan violates the law, violates the Voting Rights Act, that the plan in Texas and in Georgia is racist. What did the administration do? They overturned those Justice Department lawyers. They made sure some of them were fired. They used heavy political pressure to get around it. So next time someone says to you, oh, the administration isn't racist, they don't hate black people, they want to give black people a right to vote, they just don't like the poor, say, you remind them that the Justice Department said unanimously that the great Voting Rights Act of 1964, the thing that ended Jim Crow laws, was violated by Tom DeLay, and the Justice Department, the political appointees, overruled them and let it go through. We'll be back after this.
Is the burden of large credit card debt getting too heavy for you to carry alone? Call Debt Relief of America. They are expert debt negotiators that go to work for you to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
Within 3 months, I was debt-free and the collection hassle stopped.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
My wife and I both feel Debt Relief of America is a godsend.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. You will get a step-by-step plan on how Debt Relief of America can help you wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
Dear Mama, my first 5 years, I'll learn a lot.
How to walk, talk,
brush my teeth.
But for food, I'm pretty much counting on you.
I don't know what's good for me.
I can't use the stove, try to the store. It's up to you.
So if you need help, there's WIC.
WIC, Women, Infants, Children.
They'll tell you what's good for me, even provide food. Because what I eat my first 5 years will affect me the rest of my life.
Love always,
your child.
Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food for women, infants, children. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO.
P.S. It doesn't cost anything.
Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ag Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. And yes, I do get a little agitated when I talk about this administration. I think partly it's because, well, I've been saying the same thing for 2.5 years, and the American people are finally starting to see what I, and not just I, but many others have been talking about. But you know what? If you disagree with anything I say, I always encourage you to call in. 877-528-TALK. 877-528-8255. Tell me where I'm wrong, if you will. You know, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, they don't allow people who disagree with them on air. Well, Sean Hannity allows Alan Combs. We all know he's not very good at that. So if you disagree with me, call in. In fact, I had a listener just a few days ago, Ed from New Jersey, currently from New York, who disagreed with me so much that he asked to have an entire Debate Tuesday with me. And so we're doing it this Tuesday. Ed, a longtime listener who disagrees with my views, is going to come on air. I hope you'll tune in for that. But now I want to go to someone who often agrees with what I have to say and thinks perhaps that I don't say so forcefully enough. Dave from Northern California, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark, no, you won't get any disagreement from me on anything you've said. I didn't know if you saw it, but we had quite a different John Kerry on Face the Nation this morning. He was asked... knowing what you know now, would you have voted to authorize the president? And his answer was absolutely not. He said, well, you had a different answer when you were asked that in the debate. He said, I didn't know then what I know now. I was lied to, I was given misinformation, and I was given it deliberately. So he was saying it now. He learns. He doesn't learn quickly, but he has learned.
Well, Dave, I mean, I'm certainly glad he's saying it now. I think it takes a big man to admit a mistake. I, like you, am very sorry he didn't give that exact answer during the campaign. I remember we talking about it, you and me, on the air, saying that what he needs to say is, no, I was lied to. Yes, I voted to authorize war because I believed the president when he was telling us that Iraq had all these dangerous nuclear weapons, but I know that's not true now, and I was lied to, and the big mistake I made was trusting the president, and I'll never do it again. He should have said it then. But I am glad he's saying it now. Better late than never. And I think it's interesting to compare John Kerry with George Bush. I mean, John Kerry has admitted he made a mistake. Now, that's very hard politically for someone to do, to say, yes, I was wrong when I answered this question a year ago. And yet we see Bush in his, quote, plan for victory, unquote, and he's done nothing wrong. It's stay the course. Everything in Iraq is peachy keen. And, you know, I don't think even the president is stupid enough to believe that he's made no mistakes. But somehow he thinks we Americans are stupid enough to believe it, and so he keeps saying it again and again. I think, actually, if I were the president's advisor, and I never will be, that I would advise him to admit he's made some mistakes in Iraq, if only to convince Americans of his credibility. But I don't think you'll ever see him doing that.
Well, he has no credibility. I mean, where there, I'm convinced, for greedy self-interest of some very big profitable special interests. And as long as that's the case, no, they're not going to be able to say anything that's going to give them credibility. Anyway, I thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you for your call, Dave. I appreciate that.
All right.
We've got another hour, and there's a lot more to talk about. It's not just the war in Iraq. One of the things I want to talk about in the next hour is the Vatican's position on homosexuality. It's a very strange position. They seem to be backing off what they used to say, which is that, well, it's nobody's fault that they're gay. It's a natural tendency. And therefore, while we require chastity in all our priests, of course, there's no difference between a chaste priest who's not having sex with men and a chaste priest who's not having sex with women. Well, now they seem to have changed their minds and saying that if you don't have sex with men, but you want to, you're somehow worse than if you don't have sex with women, but you want to. I don't get it, but one thing I do like is the country of South Africa coming forward and being the fifth country in the world to give equal rights to gay people to marry. And I perhaps never thought that I'd condemn the Vatican and praise South Africa on the same issue. But that issue and more, and your calls, 877-528-TALK, in the next hour on The Inside Scoop.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother, Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
USA Radio Network News. After Rate reporting.
He was the chief operational planner for Al-Qaeda after the capture of Abu Faraj. He was involved in planning assassination attempts against Musharraf. We believe he was involved in planning attacks against the United States.
The U.S. National Security Advisor says if number three man Osama bin Laden's Muslim terrorist network has been killed, it would be a very good development. However, Stephen Hadley told CNN in his late edition that they were looking at it and were not in a position to publicly declare Abu Hamza Rabi has been killed. Pakistani Pervez Musharraf has confirmed the death, though, with the Saddam Hussein trial set to resume Monday. One of five judges has stepped down, reportedly because of a conflict of interest. A U.S. official saying an unidentified judge had removed himself from the case because a Saddam co-defendant has been tied to the murder of the judge's brother. The body of two New Hampshire children, more than 2 years, have been positively dead. Authorities in Ohio say Philip and Sarah Gehring died of multiple gunshot wounds. Their mother, Terry Knight, is in a separate release.
It's just been this unbelievable burden not having them found. And so that does feel like somewhat of a relief. It's tough, but it's better than not knowing where they are.
The children's father, Manuel Gehring, confessed to the FBI that he shot his children to death and buried their bodies near I-80 in prison. USA Radio Network News.
The following from News Broadcast Network. Now more than ever, diabetes care needs to be more comprehensive. The goal of the BD Diabetes Makeover. This program helps people take control of their diabetes in a simple and achievable way by addressing individual clinical, nutritional, fitness, and lifestyle organization needs. For more information on actively managing your diabetes, visit diabetesmakeover.com. I'm Shepard. It's holiday season. Shoppers say they'll start early, shop late into the season, and spend an average of more than $1,000. According to a new survey, this season promises to be lucrative for online merchants. In fact, 93% of respondents agreed they expect to shop and buy more online this year than last. For more information on finding the best prices and easy-to-use features and services, visit PriceGrabber.com. I'm Lee Shepard. The preceding from News Broadcast Network.
President Bush promoting a plan to toughen border security in Saturday's weekly address. The president saying that enforcement is necessary because illegal immigration involves smuggling and brings crime and gang activity into neighborhoods near the border.
Communities near our border, illegal immigration strains the resources of schools, hospitals, and law enforcement. In
It involves smugglers and gangs that bring crime to our neighborhoods.
As part of the outreach to Latinos, the president has suggested a guest worker program that would offer the estimated 11 million illegal immigrants the chance to register and work, but requiring them to return for a period of time. The Northeast snowfall, icy cold temps have many cities preparing for winter a bit early. In New York City, the Department of Sanitation was prepared for snow as it fell today. Superintendent Keith Mella said the snow really wasn't too bad.
Today we had a light storm. It was particularly a spreader storm that we call it. We had all 353 of our salt spreaders out throughout the borough, salting the streets down, and we did drop our plows.
This is just the news.
Do you need to get your credit under control, or do you just need help in rebuilding your credit? Christian Credit Counselors is a free service that will help you consolidate your debts in 20 minutes. The creditors pay us to help you. We can make paying your bills hassle-free, like you get out of debt, and improve your credit rating. Call Christian Credit Counselors toll-free at 877-348-FREE. Christian Credit Counselors, 877-348-FREE.
Not available in all states.
The Illinois State Police and the 21st Century Insurance Company co-offering a child safety seat inspection and installation fair on the south side of Chicago. They examined seats and showed parents the correct way of putting them in their vehicles. IDOT spokeswoman Joyce Prager says it's important for parents to have seats inspected because as many as 80% of them are improperly installed.
Even though you may put your child in a car seat, it doesn't mean that they're installed properly. That's why we encourage people to make an effort to visit our inspection site today, and if not today, they should check with their local police department for sitting and appointment.
Over 100 car seats were donated for today's event. It'll be the Texas Longhorns and the USC Trojans in the Rose Bowl. Texas beat Colorado in the Big 12 championship game. The top-ranked Trojans beating crosstown rival UCLA. Both teams are undefeated this season. The Trojans and Longhorns play for the national title at the Rose Bowl on January 4th. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate reporting on the USA Radio Network.
What some people are saying about your morning with Jim Harrington and friends.
Wake up, Doc. You do, of course, realize you're listening to Your Morning with Jim Harrington and friends. I like him better than carrots. Ain't I a stinker?
Your Morning with Jim Harrington and friends. Monday through Friday, right here. The perfect program for the discriminating rabbit.
A listen starts Monday morning on the Talkstar Radio Network.
Hi. My name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found a small patch of plastic on my right shoulder.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the Talkstar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the Talkstar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at talkstarradio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at talkstarradio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. There's so much to talk about in the Sunday Weekly Review, and whatever topic you want to talk about is valid. Pick up the phone and dial 877-528-TALK. Maybe you want to talk about Bush's speech on illegal immigration and his plan to develop a full class of second-class citizens that can be used at our whim and then forced to go home. Maybe you want to talk about the Vatican's policy on homosexuality, the idea that priests that don't have sex with men are somehow worse than priests that don't have sex with women, South Africa's new policy allowing gay couples to get married. A couple of you wrote in on the blog that we should never forget, and you're absolutely right, we should never forget what's going on in Darfur, the genocide going on in Sudan, where the one place where I fully support American troops, maybe not the only place, but certainly the most important moral place. You want to talk about continuing corruption, following up on some stories I did this week. Tom DeLay, it's not just him, it's not just Duke Cunningham, it's the president's brother, Neil Bush, It's Mel Sembler, the same guy that tortured those teens some years ago, is now defending Scooter Libby. Maybe you want to talk about the new Supreme Court Justice nominee, Sam Alito, and what he has to hide on the issue of abortion. Whatever it is, pick up the phone and dial 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's go to Dan in San Diego. Dan, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, I was listening to you earlier talking about how we're fighting the war against our enemy, and it seems like you want to impose our Constitution on our enemy, and they don't have those rights. I mean, what you call torture and what is acceptable in this war are two different things.
Okay, well, what to you is acceptable torture?
At this point, when we're dealing with these so-called insurgents, whatever it takes to get the information, and if you're beating the heck out of a guy or if you're starving him or making him stand up in a cold room, soaking him down with water, I heard of one recently where they wrap water or wrap saran wrap around their head, make an incline backwards and pour water over their face, and it feels like you're drowning and it doesn't take long to get information. I'm okay with all of that.
You're okay with all of that. I assume you're not okay with all of that if they do it to U.S. troops, right?
Well, I'm not okay with them sawing off heads, if that's what you're talking
well,
about.
But
if they were to do that with our troops, we'd be lucky. Instead, they're cutting heads off of our troops, but they don't have the guts yet to do that.
Well,
but
you know,
our civilians that are captured.
Anytime you say they, you're throwing a lot of people in one group. I mean, it's interesting, as Mike pointed out in the last hour from Los Angeles, that we are criticizing China for doing the exact kinds of tortures that we're doing. Should we not be criticizing China for doing these exact same tortures that we're doing?
Well, I don't think so. I think our relationship with China is pretty disturbing, because China is going to take over this country if we don't look out.
Well,
I'm not pro-Bush. I did vote for him. I thought he was, without a doubt, the only choice. But at the same time, you know, I just think it's not good for the war effort if people are going to badmouth us. So when it comes to
wait a minute. Would you say badmouth us? I mean, if we report truthfully what's going on, that we are doing these tortures, okay, is it badmouthing the United States to report the accurate information that we are doing these types of tortures to the prisoners? Is that bad? Should we not tell the truth, we in the press?
I think we probably shouldn't be talking about it at all. But if we
really
talk about it, why should it be looked at as a bad thing? We should compare what they're doing to our cats.
Well, Dan, I'll grant you.
Rape and the horrible things that they're doing to our people.
Well, Dan,
that did happen.
You're kind of a little fuzzy, which I apologize for. I hope you can fix that. It's a problem on your end. But it seems to me, Dan, that, look, if you're saying that we should tell the truth about it and that you're defending it, I got to tell you, I have no problem with that. I disagree with you. I think that, frankly, it's unconstitutional. Our Constitution prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. I also think it's immoral and unethical, and I don't think we can be a light into the world if we're doing the same kinds of things that we're criticizing others about. But on the other hand, I don't have a bone to pick with you if you're saying that we should tell the truth about it, and then we can argue about whether it's right or wrong. But it seems to me, Dan, that what you were saying is that we shouldn't tell the truth about it. And that to me relates all back to this administration propaganda, that the administration is afraid of the truth. It's what I said in the last hour. They can't handle the truth. And it seems to me, Dan, that you are like so many Americans. You can't handle the truth either. I mean, if you think it's perfectly fine to torture people, and you think that's great, and it doesn't matter whether they're innocent or guilty, in fact, you think, as they did with the Salem witches, that the best way to find out if someone's innocent or guilty is to torture them until they confess, you know, go ahead, express that as your view. But the administration isn't doing that. They're hiding the ball. They're hiding our prisons. They have prisons in Europe that violate European law that are hidden. They're hiding the tortures. The administration, on the one hand, is saying we don't torture, and the other hand is arguing against John McCain's bill, which would prohibit torture. So I say very clearly, if you agree or disagree with torture, fine. Let's have a national debate. What I don't agree with is hiding the ball. Dan, I know you had some problems there with your phone. If you want to call back in, or if anyone else wants to call on any of these issues, I always welcome whether you agree or disagree. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it, and nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath, sour, bitter taste, and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call now for your free copy of Dr. Katz's Bad Breath Bible. Plus, you can receive a free kit of his clinical formulas proven to eliminate occasional or chronic bad breath. Call now for your free kit. 1-800-603-3027. 800-603-3027. That's 800-603-3027.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop and the Sunday Weekly Review. I want to talk about the Vatican. Now, you know, I'm not Catholic, so maybe I have no right to criticize at all, but it seems to me that the Catholic Church has a lot of power and influence, and they seem to be backtracking on the issue of gay rights. Now, the Catholic Church has admitted that being gay, what they call a tendency, is not something that is a choice. It's something that you're born with. And so it's very strange, their new position on priests. They're saying not that if a priest is having sex that he should not be a priest. We can all agree that whatever you feel about the Vatican's policy, Catholic policy, is that priests have to be chaste. No quarrel here with that. But the idea somehow is that if a man is chaste but happens to be gay, then he can't be a priest. But if a man is chaste but happens to be straight, then he should be. Now, recall, the latest study shows that one-half of all Catholic priests are gay. That's a tremendous number. About 1 out of every 3 priests, maybe 1 out of 2, is gay. And now they're saying that they can't teach in the seminaries. Some of these are the best priests that the Catholic Church has. What is going on here? I would suggest to you that what's going on is the Catholic Church is trying to take the focus off their horrible child abuse scandal. I mean, here you had the Church giving a blind eye to priests and bishops who mistreated not just young boys but young girls as well, who committed pedophilia. And the Church, instead of prosecuting them, turning them over to the authorities to be prosecuted as they should be, was moving them to different places. So now, by attacking gay people who've done nothing wrong, gay priests who've done nothing wrong, I guess they think they're putting the pedophilia scandal behind them. But I want you to think again. What they're arguing, interesting, it's very strange, they're arguing that people who are born gay cannot teach in seminaries. But if it's a transitory thing, this is straight out of Vatican doctrine. In other words, if, quote, this is, if for some curiosity during adolescence or accidental circumstances in a state of drunkenness or particular circumstances like someone who was in prison for many years committed a gay act, then it's okay. So if you're a drunk, if you're an ex-con, if you have, you know, if you have certain sex acts as a kid, right, you know, before you're an adult, I don't know, then it's okay to be a priest. It's fine to have drunks and ex-cons. That's not a problem. You've broken the law. You can be a priest. But if you're chaste and following church law, but happen to, you know, view men as more attractive to women, you can't be a priest. It does not make sense. And let's remember, Japanese scientists have already found a gene for sexual orientation, at least in fruit flies. Maybe they'll find one in the future for people. But for the Catholic Church, which really does have a problem with pedophilia on its hands, to use that to attack gay people, I think it's, there's just no excuse for it. Luckily, South Africa has taken a much more enlightened view. I'm very proud of South Africa becoming the fifth country to say that gay people should have the same rights to marry that straight people have. Do you know the other four? Can you name the other four? You can call in 877-528-TALK or put it on the blog at radioinsightscoop.com. What are the five countries for which gay couples have equal rights to straight couples to marry? You know about the state, Massachusetts, but I want to know what the other four countries are. It's interesting that South Africa has come to this view on a continent, Africa, that frankly is pretty strongly anti-gay. We'll take gay couples and put them in jail, much less give them equal marriage rights. And I think the reason is because South Africa has suffered so much repression because of apartheid, because of the miseries which the black majority suffered due to the white minority. I think they're more likely to understand how other people suffer. I think for the same reason you find that, Jews tend to be less anti-gay and less anti-black than non-Jews. I think that when you have a people that suffered, they're generally, though not always, more likely to understand the suffering of others. And I just wanted to praise South Africa for taking that step. Lots more to talk about, though, particularly instances of corruption. When we come back, I want to talk in detail about Tom DeLay, because the Republicans have not given up on Tom DeLay as their leader. Do you realize this? They're afraid to say so publicly. But if Tom DeLay manages to get his trial moved out of Austin, Texas, and gets a judge more to his liking, he could be back running the same corrupt House of Representatives that he ran just before. Details on this right after the break. If you want to call in, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Say, do you or a member of your family suffer from acne? Do you take prescription drugs and get little or no relief? Is your skin always dry and itching and peeling due to the side effects of chemicals and drugs? Do you have trouble looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see? Do you avoid going out in the world due to your acne? Are you spending ridiculous amounts of money with little or no results? Well, you may find relief. Relief is available to most sufferers online at healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStar Products, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com. Go to www.HealthStarProducts.com and find out about the acne program. Find out if it works for you or a member of your family. If it doesn't, you get your money back.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. He can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own, catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for Talk Star Radio listeners, this is a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Buy yours for the holidays today, yourmorning.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop and the Sunday Weekly Review. A few of you guessed by email, but no one got all the countries right. The four countries that allow equal rights for gay people and straight people to marry are Canada. Most of you got that one. And the Netherlands, most of you got that one. The other two are Belgium and Spain. But I promised I would talk to you about Tom DeLay. Now, I did a detailed program. I hope you were able to catch that. Last Monday, I believe it was. It's all on my blog at RadioInsideScoop.com, giving you the details, because the details matter. You need to know the quid pro quo. You need to know what our lawmakers are getting and what they're giving for what they're getting. So since I gave you all that detail, I won't go into those details here, but they involved, lavish golf trips for Tom DeLay. I went to the Northern Marianas Islands trying to persuade Congress to allow them to mistreat workers, as they do in Thailand. You know about those 9-year-old kids that make Nike shoes, or at least used to. Well, the idea was to let them do that in Northern Marianas Islands, too, because that's a U.S. territory. And then you could still torture kids and write on the label, made in the USA. What a great way to get around U.S. labor laws where you can't force 9-year-olds to work in your factories. Thank you, Tom DeLay. But it's more than that. The same guy, Brett Wilkes, Jack Abramoff, the same people involved in the Cunningham scandals and Bob Ney and all the others were, of course, involved with Tom DeLay. In fact, Tom DeLay went on Brent Wilkes' corporate jets many, many times. And neither DeLay nor the company to this day will say what was the purpose or destination of those trips. What is he trying to hide? Well, Tom DeLay won't tell us. He has said, in fact, that he's going to stonewall us, so we have no right to know who is paying him millions of dollars and what he's giving them for that. Bribery, Tom DeLay thinks, is none of your business. If somebody's paying him to write a law and to put the law in a certain way, it's none of your business. But all we can do is just look and see what he's done. For example, when he flew to Texas for his mugshot, remember that? Tom DeLay smiling as if he's happy that he was caught and booked. Guess who paid for that jet? R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. Now, what does it mean when Big Tobacco, which we know kills 400,000 Americans a year, is paying Tom DeLay for him to go back and face trial in Texas? What do you think they're getting for that? Well, Tom DeLay won't say. He's keeping it all a secret. Now, if he were an honest person, or if he weren't guilty, and all those of you that think that he's not guilty, why don't you ask Tom DeLay to sit there, to have a press conference, to tell us all the details, tell us exactly what happened. Frankly, I'd love to see the president do such a thing, or the vice president, give us all the details. You know, I believe in open government. I think a government that's done nothing wrong isn't afraid of giving you the details. I don't expect that from Tom DeLay. But this isn't about him, really. What it's about is the party that has chosen Tom DeLay to be its leader. Because Tom DeLay is not the former majority leader of the Republican Party. He's the current one. He hasn't technically given up his job. He hasn't allowed Roy Blunt, who, by the way, is involved in a lot of the same scandals, to take over officially. He plans to come back. He's made it very clear that if he beats the rap, if he manages to get the judge disqualified, if he manages to get it moved to a more favorable part of Texas, he plans to come back. And the question is not Tom DeLay's plans, but the people who would invite him back. You see, Tom DeLay can only be majority leader of the Republicans if the Republicans elect him to that seat. So when you ask a Republican House member whether they want Tom DeLay, with all of his history of bribery and corruption, to be their leader, you know what they say? They say nothing. They might say secretly, we don't want him back, but publicly, they say nothing. Don't believe me? Contact your Republican representative. Ask him or her or a senator whether they think that Tom DeLay should come back. Should he be majority leader? See what they say. You'll find that they're scared. Because Tom DeLay knew how to punish people. He knew how to say to Republicans who didn't support him, no money for your district, you're not going to get a vote on this committee, if you don't vote my way, you're in trouble. So any Republican in the House or Senate that claims to have an independent view, that claims to disagree with Tom DeLay, ask them if they support his coming back, ask them if they've ever been had their arm twisted by Tom DeLay. Remember, this is the man who offered $100,000 to Nick Smith of Texas, excuse me, Nick Smith of Michigan, to change his vote on the Medicare bill, and still hasn't been prosecuted for it. Now, of course, he's not the only corrupt person. Like I said, we did an entire show about it. One thing I want to bring out is a little more on Mel Sembler. We did many shows on this former ambassador to Italy, former ambassador to Australia, who ran a bunch of programs called Straight Inc. that he called teenage rehab centers. In fact, thousands of American teens were brutally mistreated there. They were held down and beaten and humiliated, denied food and sleep, some of the same tortures that we ourselves unfortunately do right now in Iraq were done to American teens underneath the direction of Mel Sembler. I did a lot of shows on that. You can find it on the website at radioinsidescoop.com. Well, he's no longer our ambassador to Italy. No, he's now leading the Scooter Libby Defense Fund. If you've ever wondered whether the administration was involved in any of this kind of stuff, why don't they distance themselves from a man whose name is becoming synonymous with torture? The answer is he's got a lot of money. And if he can help Scooter Libby beat his rap, then Dick Cheney won't have to face his own charges of treason. The Republicans will do just about anything for money. Ask the president's brother, Neil Bush, who's going around praising Reverend Sun Myung Moon, the man who claims he's the Messiah and talks to Jesus and Hitler on a daily basis, the man who is out to destroy Christianity. Why is the president's brother hanging out with such a guy? Obviously, he's being paid. And the question becomes, have they no shame? Have they no shame at all? 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
This is News Break. A magazine reports the U.S. ambassador to Iraq is conducting talks with Iraqi insurgents. The magazine, quoting Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad, is saying, "We will intensify the engagement." Iraq's discussion with the ambassador further stated that reaching out to Sunnis regarding their concerns makes sense because of the differences between the nationalists and the al-Qaeda in the insurgency. There's another turn of events as Saddam Hussein's trial gets resumed tomorrow. One of the five judges has stepped down, reportedly because of a conflict of interest. U.S. officials saying that an unidentified judge has removed himself from the case because a Saddam defendant has tied to the murder of the judge's brother. The U.N. Secretary General has been asked to extend the world body's vote on the killing of Lebanon's former Prime Minister Rafiq al-Hariri, Lebanon telling Vienna its government wants the investigation to go 6 more months and maybe more into the February truck bombing in Beirut. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack Durant.
There are times and occasions when only roses will do. Roses247.com searches rose growers all over the world for the season's very best and most special roses at the most reasonable prices. For this week's greatest selection of fresh, beautifully cultivated roses, chosen to convey just exactly the sentiment you want to express, get online to www.roses247.com. We've done all the screening and shopping for you. It's fast, easy, and safe to order online, just as hundreds of thousands do all the time. So for birthdays, anniversaries, special remembrances, or just to say you are very much loved, type in roses247.com. We're open around the clock at roses247.com. Roses say it best.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Moderate alcohol consumption has been linked to a lower risk of heart disease, but a new international analysis of 53 studies covering 150,000 women shows that just one glass of wine or beer a day may increase the risk of breast cancer. Drinking more alcohol boosts the danger even higher. Researchers have noted this association for years and have been investigating the connection. One possible explanation is that alcohol increases the level of estrogen circulating in the bloodstream and eventually in the breast.
Postmenopausal women who just walk for an hour a week reduce their risk of breaking a hip. The study, published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, followed more than 61,000 women for 12 years. Those who are even more active, exercising for at least 8 hours a week, cut their chances of hip fracture in half. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. There's so much the government does not want you to know. It's hard to get it all done in 2 hours, but if you want to call in and ask questions, make a comment, disagree with me, you're always welcome to do that. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or you can comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. We'll try to read some of your comments on the air. In fact, one of the comments I really appreciated was from Gordon, who quoted Marianne Williamson to remind us of the situation in Sudan. It is bad. It is genocide. People are being shot. They are being killed. And America's doing nothing. The United Nations is doing nothing. We're not even supporting a no-fly zone. Remember the no-fly zones over Iraq? I think they were fine. I had no problem with them. But don't you think that trying to prevent genocide should be at least as important as trying to protect oil? Don't forget what's going on in Darfur, and I want to thank Gordon and Vicky for reminding me to remind you. I've done several shows on it, and it just doesn't get enough information. And it's amazing to me, all the people who focus on Saddam Hussein like he was the worst dictator in the world, when really he was, you know, not great, but definitely not in the top 10. And they don't focus on what's going on in Sudan or China or Syria or Iran or North Korea or Algeria or Liberia or Pakistan and Afghanistan, for that matter. The list goes on and on. So please do not forget this happens, and I hope you will do what Gordon and Vicky urge you to do, and they're of different political stripes, that is, call your member of Congress and say, preventing genocide is as important if you supported the war in Iraq, or more important if you didn't, than trying to protect the oil. One more comment about Tom DeLay before I move on. His plan, the plan to gerrymander the Texas districts, you remember when this happened, right? I mean, he tried to use the Department of Homeland Security to track down wayward Texas Democrats who disagreed with him, who went off to Oklahoma, wouldn't participate in it, and he tried to use the federal government to track them down. That plan, let's remember, unanimously was found by the Department of Justice. All 8 civil servants who looked at the plan said this violates the law, this violates the Federal Voting Rights Act, the same act in 1964 that ended Jim Crow laws. The first time, really, that blacks were given an equal right to vote in the United States. It violates the law. But the president and Tom DeLay, the attorney general, didn't care about the law. They didn't care about the Voting Rights Act. They didn't care about letting African Americans vote because they know that most African Americans don't vote for them. And so they'd rather do the racist thing of diluting their representation, of harming the Voting Rights Act, the one thing that gave blacks the right to vote. They'd rather break the law, even despite our sorry history on race. And so they did. And so the political appointees overruled the 8 staff attorneys who unanimously found it broke the law. And guess what, folks? The results are still there. The Republicans have 10 votes more. If you have 5 votes, 5 seats change, so you get 10 more votes, right? Because 5 people would have voted one way, now they vote the other way. They have 10 votes in Texas due to a violation of the very law that helped end the Jim Crow laws. And for all the corruption of Tom DeLay, and I hope he goes to jail, and for all the violations of law of the Texas gerrymandering scheme, remember, those representatives are still there. They seem to believe that if you get away with your law breaking, then it's okay, right? I mean, it's one thing to break the law and even get caught. It's another thing for the results of your actions to be there, and it's still there. And that's why I'm hoping that, yes, in November 2006, the people say, you know what? We've had enough. We are going to undo all of these illegal schemes by getting rid of the Republicans that are representatives in Congress. Toll-free number 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. The lines are open. Did you hear about Alito this week? Sam Alito has been caught in a memo that he wrote back in the 80s to say that, guess what, he doesn't think Roe v. Wade is constitutional. Now, Sam Alito has every right to have that point of view. He doesn't necessarily have the right to be confirmed to be on the Supreme Court with that point of view, but he certainly has the right to his point of view. But what did he do? He hid the memo. He tried to not let Congress find out about the memo. He was asked specifically by the Senate Judiciary Committee what memos he's written on the topic, and this one wasn't included. And before you say, oh, well, you know, he can be forgetful and stuff, remember, these things are carefully vetted. I mean, these memos are looked over by everyone. He's got a lot of people working for him. He must have known this memo exists. But the question is, why do you think he could put one over on us? Well, now he's distancing himself. Now he's saying, well, that was my personal opinion when he talked about how important it was to overturn Roe v. Wade. And that's just my personal opinion, and you shouldn't hold it against me. Well, for one thing, why didn't he expose it in the first place? Why didn't he come forward and say, hey, you know, I had this memo, but I no longer agree with it or whatever? The answer is, clearly, nobody believes him. Certainly, the right-wing groups, fundamentalist groups, Conservative of America doesn't believe him. They say, oh, we don't mind that he's distanced himself from the memo, because we know, in effect, he's lying to you. No, they didn't use those words. But they said that we don't care that he's distanced himself, because they believe that the memo is true. And I believe that the memo is true. And Congress knows that the memo is true. So, Sam Alito, I've got some advice for you. All right? If you want to overturn Roe v. Wade, say so publicly. Don't try to hide it. We're not fooled. Those that support you are not fooled. Those that are against you are not fooled. And this silly game that nominees play of pretending they don't have views that everyone knows they have, it's an insult to our intelligence. And I want to compare Judge Alito to another judge who was asked her view on Roe v. Wade before her nomination to the Supreme Court. I'm talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, interestingly, had problems with Roe v. Wade. I don't know, folks, if you remember this. But in 1993, Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, you know what? Roe v. Wade was probably not decided in the most proper way. She found the opinion to be not particularly convincing. And she said that. She felt, in fact, that a woman's right to choose is protected in other language of the Constitution, specifically in the Fourth Amendment, which gives every American the right to be secure in their bodies. The government cannot invade your home, your persons, your places, or your effects, but also your persons. They can't invade your body without a warrant. They need to have a warrant. They need to have probable cause of a crime being committed. And then, yes, they can invade your body. For example, they can force you if they think you've done drugs, you have probable cause for that. Or if you were drinking and driving, they can force you to take a test. They can actually, use your body to do a test to convict you of a crime. But they have to have probable cause. Well, she said that actually that the Fourth Amendment was the best way to find a woman's choice. And she didn't find Roe v. Wade very convincing. Now, think about what Justice Ginsburg did, right? She argued, in effect, that Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided. That she may support it another way, but it was wrongly decided. This is a woman who answered the great unanswerable question today and did so honestly and did so legitimately and risked all the criticism that could come. And I have to say to Sam Alito and the president, stop hiding the ball here. Whatever you believe, you need to let us know. We have a right. The Senate has a right to advise and consent. We have a right to avoid the stealth candidates. You know, the right wing didn't want Harriet Myers because they were afraid that she was a stealth candidate and she wouldn't support their views. And now they support Sam Alito because everyone knows their views. But don't let anyone be fooled. When the Senate Judiciary Chairman, Arnold Spector, who's pro-choice, claims to not know Alito's view on abortion, we can all know that simply isn't true. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
If you have more than $7,500 in credit card debt, listen to these shocking facts. Debt can ruin your life. A great number of all marriages end in divorce due to financial problems. Many American families are only a few paychecks away from bankruptcy. There are secret programs that credit card companies don't want you to know about that will eliminate your debt. If you are drowning in credit card debt, there is a way out. Debt Relief of America can negotiate directly with your creditors to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. Learn how to avoid bankruptcy and get more cash in your pocket. Call Debt Relief of America for a free debt analysis by one of their debt relief specialists. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-936-1264. 800-936-1264. For your free information, call now. 800-936-1264. 800-936-1264.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
I was thinking during the break what the theme should be for today's show, and I think the theme is concealment. Whether it's the president talking about Iraq, the fact that we are providing propaganda to the Iraqis but won't talk about it, the fact that we won't show on television the coffins of Americans that are killed there, the fact that we're secretly operating camps and secretly torturing people, and Tom DeLay won't talk about his details of his corruption, and Sam Alito won't talk about his views on abortion, and Congress won't investigate anyone. We're all talking about secrecy and a government that is determined to keep secrecy. And I think they think that if we don't know, we'll never hold them accountable for what they do. And, well, heck, that's why I do what I do, to make them accountable. 877-528-TALK. Let's go to Frank in San Diego. Frank, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yeah, how you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I think as a Democratic Party, we need to define our views on the war clearly and united, as opposed to fragmented throughout the party. We just need to be anti-war, period.
Anti the Iraq war or anti-war?
Anti-any war. Any war. Yeah, I had a buddy who's a conservative the other day tell me, well, Germany didn't attack us. I said, you're right. We shouldn't have attacked Germany either.
Wow.
They didn't attack us, so we shouldn't have attacked them. Yeah, this friend of mine happened to be British, and he didn't dig that one bit because, they did attack him. I said, but they never attacked America. Why did we attack Germany?
Well, Frank, I don't go that far at all. I think...
Why? Why not?
Well, Germany was an ally of Japan, and, of course, Japan did attack us. They also did invade a number of countries that did not want Germany there and completely mistreated its people.
See, that leads you right into the argument that there were terrorists in Iraq that were allies of Osama bin Laden.
I failed to see the connection. I mean, I have to tell you, I supported, for example...
You can't have it both ways.
Sure you can. I supported the Gulf War, for example.
No, you can't.
I supported the invasion...
You can't have it both ways.
Well, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Who did Saddam Hussein attack?
That's what's ruining this party today. That's why there's so many fragmented people. What kind of party is it?
Well, I'll tell you. Part of the reason is...
Hillary Clinton supports the war, but she doesn't support the war. And
Frank, let me explain.
She thinks we should be there, but she don't think we should... pull out?
Let me explain. We don't have the kind of lockstep discipline the Republicans have because we don't bribe our people like Tom DeLay does and says, if you don't support me, you know, we're going to make sure that you have no place in the Republican Party. We don't have that iron discipline because we allow for difference of views in the Democratic Party. But I'll tell you this. I don't know any Democrats, with the possible exception of Congresswoman Barbara Lee of Oakland, maybe her, but no one else who's a true pacifist. And I'm not sure if that's what you're advocating. But clearly, when we were attacked on 9/11, the entire Democratic Party rose up as one, along with Republicans, along with independents, with all Americans, and said, we got to fight back. But most
because
of us...
Not because they wanted to fight back.
Of course.
Because,
most of us Democrats believe...
Like that was the most political way to be at the time.
Not true at all. And that's really, I think...
It's like all this sidestepping that's going on right now.
Frank, I think that's a real attack on the patriotism of Americans. I don't know a single American, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that said we should fight back against Al-Qaeda because it's politically right to do so. I don't know any... I worked in Congress at that time. I don't know anyone that said that. I don't know about you, but when I saw 3,000 Americans murdered, I was angry. I wanted a formal congressional declaration of war against Afghanistan. And I'll tell you this, Frank, I am angry today at this administration for letting Osama bin Laden walk, for letting Mullah Omar walk, for withdrawing 100,000 troops from Afghanistan, sticking them in Iraq where they're doing no good to anyone, instead of going out and getting those true terrorists who murdered 3,000 Americans. The idea that we should defend ourselves as a nation doesn't make any sense to me. Yes, I don't believe in going out and attacking countries who've never attacked us in order to get their oil. I don't think that makes any sense. But when a country attacks the United States of America or invades a country like Germany, invaded innocent, you know, neutral countries, and mistreated the people, I have no problem with America being, for example, in Sudan. I think right now we should invade Sudan. I support that war to help stop the genocide. We should stop genocide from occurring.
They're not hurting us.
Because it's genocide, Frank. Because people...
They're not hurting us.
Yeah, I think they are.
We need to protect our borders and our country.
I do think we need to protect our borders and our country. That's why certainly the war in Iraq doesn't make any sense.
I think we should condemn Roosevelt for attacking Germany. They never touched us. They never laid a hand on us.
You know what, Frank? I think you're playing devil's advocate. I don't believe you truly believe that. Because
I absolutely do.
You really do?
I absolutely.
Well, let me ask you this.
You know what? It was Europe's problem.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Hitler was a threat to the entire world, and the reason he was, like the people in Sudan.
You don't think that Al-Qaeda's a threat to the entire
absolutely,
world?
Absolutely, which is why I support the war against Al-Qaeda. But Saddam Hussein was not a threat to the entire world.
Well,
I want to fight Al-Qaeda. I don't want to fight Iraq. I don't know what we're doing in Iraq.
No, the whole group of Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Frank, how did Al-Qaeda get...
for terrorist attacks outside of
Frank,
Iraq.
How did Al-Qaeda get to be in Iraq? They weren't there when we invaded.
Hold on. Let me take the.
Let's be clear, Frank.
America point of view.
Al Qaeda was not in Iraq.
Via secret jet, and armed them to fight against us to prolong the war. That's how they got there.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I do know this. All of the congressional investigations have shown that Saddam Hussein did not trust Al-Qaeda, did not have them in Iraq, and would not allow them to have a base in Iraq. They all show that his army was weak and that it wasn't doing anything. And in fact, after the Gulf War, was very weakened by the sanctions and would not use any chemical or biological weapons. Once we went into Iraq, only at that point when we dismantled the government, dismantled their army, didn't protect the borders. Yes, we invited Al-Qaeda in. It is true that there are a few Al-Qaeda members in Iraq today that weren't there because of Bush's incompetence. That's true. But I'll tell you this. Al-Qaeda is all over the world. And it seems to me that we need to at least focus on their bases. The idea that we have to let Osama bin Laden go and Mullah Omar go in order to capture some oil field in Iraq does not make any sense to me. And you don't have to be a pacifist to recognize that we need to fight back when the United States is attacked or when genocide is occurring, but we don't need to fight against people who, frankly, are doing more good for us than harm. Saddam Hussein was keeping Al-Qaeda out. We'll be right back after this.
There are times and occasions when only roses will do. Roses247.com searches rose growers all over the world for the season's very best and most special roses at the most reasonable prices. For this week's greatest selection of fresh, beautifully cultivated roses, chosen to convey just exactly the sentiment you want to express, get online to www.roses247.com. We've done all the screening and shopping for you. It's fast, easy, and safe to order online, just as hundreds of thousands do all the time. So for birthdays, anniversaries, special remembrances, or just to say you are very much loved, type in roses247.com. We're open around the clock at roses247.com. Roses say it best.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, one of the best shows television ever offered. Now you can travel again with Marlon Perkins to the farthest reaches of the globe and study wild animals in their natural habitats. The Emmy Award-winning Wild Kingdom, now available on DVD. Order online at RetroTelevision.com and get 20 full-length episodes for $29.99. You'll see gorillas, elephants, giraffes, zebras, hippos, and more. Also memorable, three episodes featuring legendary primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. 20 episodes of Wild Kingdom on DVD for $29.99. Go to RetroTelevision.com, or if you forget, log on to www.TalkStarRadio.com and check out our video store. Save $10 on Wild Kingdom now at RetroTelevision.com. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left. It's unfortunate our last caller, Frank, hung up. I have to say, I don't believe him. I don't buy it. I don't think there are many people in America, there may be a few, Frank may be one of them, who are true pacifists, who feel like we should never respond if we're attacked. There are a few. I don't know of any in the Democratic Party. Like I said, there may be one member of Congress out in Oakland. But everyone from, you know, the far left to the far right believes that if we're attacked, we have to defend ourselves. And I think many of us, most of us, also believe that when genocide is going on, we have to take a stand. You see, I believe in America that actually is a light unto the nations. I like to think of my country not as one among many. Yeah, everybody else tortures, so we torture. And by the way, everyone else doesn't torture. Most Western nations don't. Only we do. Right? It's generally only the dictatorships that torture. So there are some that say, yeah, dictatorships torture, we should too. Dictatorships don't count votes, we shouldn't count votes either. Dictatorships like China and Saddam Hussein have secret prisons, so it's okay for us. Al-Qaeda beheads people, that's fine with us. We have a right to be just as evil and wrong. If they commit genocide, we can commit genocide, I guess. I don't buy it. I think America has to hold itself to a higher standard than Saddam Hussein or China. I don't know that we'll ever get to as high a standard as Canada or the Netherlands or some real peaceful country. I'd like to see it. And that doesn't mean I think the Canadians wouldn't respond if they were attacked. I think they would. I think every country would respond if they're attacked. And I also think that countries like Canada and European nations want to stop genocide. Maybe they didn't want to stop it as much as they should have in World War II. But if we were to lead the fight in Sudan, where I support intervention, absolutely, to say that genocide is wrong, when you're lining men, women, and children up and massacring them, or if you're coming and flying our planes into our buildings and murdering 3,000 innocent Americans, you will be held accountable. And hopefully one day we will have a president who understands that anyone who murders 3,000 Americans should be captured dead or alive. And should focus on that first. Yes, I know he wants cheap oil, and I know he wants to help all those oil companies that give him so much campaign money, and I know he felt like he had to invade Iraq long before September 11th. But we were attacked. And perhaps my biggest complaint with this president is that he's a weakling on the war on terror. George W. Bush, you are, yes, helping the terrorists succeed. Because you're not going after them. Heck, the only guy that we got Al-Qaeda recently in Pakistan, Hamda Rabia, how did we get him? He had his own explosives and he blew himself up. Why don't we have troops there? We have 15,000 troops, no more, in Afghanistan. 10 times that amount in Iraq. And Afghanistan's a bigger country with more people. Why aren't we fighting the war? I'll tell you why. The President of the United States realized that going after Saddam Hussein's a lot easier than going after Osama bin Laden. And he thought that occupying Iraq would be a piece of cake. He actually believed the people in his administration who were lying to him, people like Dick Cheney, relying on people like Ahmed Chalabi, saying they were going to throw flowers in the streets and greet us as liberators. Well, it's about time those troops came home and did something that all of us Americans, or at least 99% of us, want them to do. To go out and fight Al-Qaeda, to fight Osama bin Laden, to fight Mullah Omar, and to leave the Iraqi people alone. I hope you've enjoyed the Inside Scoop, and I hope you'll listen in this week. We've got a lot of great shows. Tomorrow's show, we're going to focus on Walmart. Now, is Walmart ordinary capitalism? Are they just trying to give everybody everyday low prices?